Hello and welcome to another episode of the American Soccer Analysis Show. I'm your host, Kieran, and I still have a throaty cough, and I am still joined by Harrison and Ben. For those of you listening to this, you're gonna be like, why is he so dismissive about the intro? We're recording back to back, but you're not listening to this back to back. We are straight into the previews, gentlemen. We have 10 more teams for you. We have the middle third of the league. In some ways, these should be the most interesting ones because they have the most room up and down to move. But I think this is actually quite a boring set of middle teams in MLS this year, where I don't particularly care for any of them, nor do I think any of them have a real shot at being excellent, nor do I think any of them have a real chance of being awful, except for maybe Austin. They might be awful. Harrison, we're going to start with you. We're going to start with Charlotte FC. Wilfred Zaha came in. Dean Smith did a good job last year. Tell us about Charlotte.
All right. So, yeah, we'll talk about, you know, Dean Smith and Wilfred Zaha in a second. But the big question that I have is, how real is this team? Because XG and realistically their numbers say they're kind of on the verge of being that elite type team, right? They're second in goals allowed last year. Their XGA was sixth. But then you look at their G plus numbers, and their G plus numbers are mediocre at very favorable interpretation. So the question is, how good really are they? And if we really do believe that they are close to being an elite-ish team with a good defense, then, you know, Zaha makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you have I didn't have his name. I'm gonna try to go off without my head.
I'm so sorry. Patrick A from Canada.
I'm pretty sure it's Ajimang. So, anyways, Ajimang, their midfield got deeper, and we kind of forget they had Tim Ream last year. So, they have the best keeper in the league. This potentially is a top three Eastern Conference team, depending on how you view them. So, Ajimang thrown out, we figured that one out. What do you guys think of this team? Like, Ben, I'm kind of curious. Do you consider Charlotte to be a near elite team, or are they more middle of the pack?
I don't know, because I feel like it was like a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team last year, because I think the first half of the year they were that, you know, I don't want to say like stereotypical Dean Smith British, you know, lock it down style. But he really solidified at the back. You know, it was solid defensively. Goals, the expected goals against, but less flashy expected goals for. And then towards the second half of the year, it just sort of like got erratic for both of those metrics, like conceding more, scoring more. It was just much more frenetic. And I think that's where having Kalina really had this team, you know, kept this team in a very solid playoff position. So I don't know if that was an aberration or not. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. I think they probably will be better with, you know, Dean Smith will now be in his second year. I think the squad's probably better now. I think Patrick Ajimong's a year better now. He's no longer fighting for his spot. Like he's fought, like it's acknowledged that he gets to play a lot going into 2025, and you can plan that into that. So I think they'll be good. And I think having Kalina will probably be the difference maker again. Go instead of from good team to great team, it'll be great team to possibly elite team.
Yeah, I'm curious how stable the Kalina thing is. His first season in MLS, he was like pretty average. So I'm very curious if that's a real thing. But I really like their recruitment this summer, man. Like, I think Wilfred Zaha is going to be amazing in MLS. Like, he has scored at a really solid rate in the Premier League. He scored a bunch of goals in Turkey last year. He's like a very solid guy, and his skill set leans into MLS really well. He's an unbelievable 1v1 dribbler, and he's very quick. His shot maps aren't great, but I think he translates pretty well. They get Eric Williamson for basically nothing after Portland tried to move him for $2.5 million all of last year. They bring back Pep Biel on loan.
Yes, like, that's huge.
It's, you know, it's hilarious. You go to their FBref page and you sort by non-penalty expected goals plus assists per 90, and it's just like every single attacker, no matter who it is, no matter how many minutes they played, no matter whether they played as a winger or as a nine, they all put up half an expected goal or an assist, just consistently churning out decent stuff. To
Well,
me,
they also got Leo Abada as well.
Abada joined last year, right? And
Oh,
he's
did he?
still,
Okay.
he's still around, but he didn't really settle in for a while. To me, the big question is, I think they're still very thin in midfield, even with Erik Williamson. Like,
That's fair. I think that's very fair.
their like main midfielders last year were Brent Bronico inverting from fullback, Junior Urso, Ashley Westwood. Like, those guys are all like kind of old.
Ashley
And
Westwood, especially.
yeah, like Westwood's 33. So I'm kind of curious to see. I'm kind of curious to see what their midfield looks like. I am comfortably in on them for the playoffs. I would probably not pick them to host a playoff game, is I think where I would be. Harrison, where are you at? Well, I mean,
I'm gonna go.
they auto host the playoff game, but you know what I mean. Like, I don't think
Yeah.
they're going to come in the top four.
I think they're top four. I will I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna double down. I'm gonna take that right now. I think they will be. I think their schedule, I think the lack of having all the additional games that everybody else has, I think will help them.
Ben, top four in the East or no?
Ooh, I think it's close because I'm like at first I was like, yeah, I think I see them like six, five or six, and then I'm like, actually, I think the East is weaker than I think they are this year. So
It's
I
not
think
a
I might
strong East.
it's I think they might I think they could get three or four. I'm gonna go with Harrison. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, Ben, tell us about the Rapids, your beloved Pids.
Oh, up the Pids. So I not a lot happened this offseason. So few exits. We bring in two center backs from Cincinnati after having a very, very bad defensive collapse through the second half of the year. Then we do the cash trade for Ted Cudipietro, who I'm gonna have to practice that one. Who I think is a great fit. Like, I'm really I did not know anything about him. Asking around, checking the numbers, I think he's a great fit, and I think he's going to develop into Armas's system, and just sort of get better at the things he's already good at in a system that will encourage him to do that.
Let me
Yes.
jump in there because I think one of the things that has gone under the radar is that like Armas's system this year is probably not going to be what Armas's system was last year for the majority of the season. Am I correct in that understanding? We're going to see back three stuff. Is that what I'm hearing?
Back three.
I don't think it's going to be. I think it'll be a back three a third of the time. And I actually don't
Interesting.
think it'll change the system that much. My sense on that is when it, I think it's going to be primarily a back four. I don't think Keegan Rosenberry is going to be playing as much this year. I think that'll be Cannon on the right back, Fiennes on the left, Owaziem and Maxu. And I think when they do that, I think Larraz is going to be the second pivot to Cole Bassett. When it's three, or when it's three center backs, that's when I think Ronan's going to be playing, because you've got that extra defensive cover behind, and it gives him like he's less of a physical presence and can't necessarily chase people down like Larraz can, but he can ping those balls. So I think that's going to be the tactical pivot between those formations. But otherwise, it's still going to be the same. It's still going to be hold off, but run at them at the right moments. Get the turnovers at the right moments. Have players running forward when you get those turnovers so that you're ready to capitalize on it. That ethos is going to be there. And I think the moves that were made in the offseason help make that a more consistent game plan, because without Cole Bassett on the field, it's really hard to do that, actually. He's so much of that engine. So I think having Teddy in, I think that's going to be a big help in terms of keeping that energy up throughout the season.
Tell me about the center backs because out goes Moise Bombito, out goes MLS legend Lawless Abubakar. Like that's almost it's a huge chunk of your center back when it's gone. And in come Auazim. Is that how you say it? Auazim? I don't know.
I don't know.
The center backs they traded for. Maxo's also gone. Am I correct in
No, Max
understanding
is
that?
still there. There was talk that he might transfer to the Middle East, but he didn't. He's
Oh, but
still
it didn't
in
end up
town.
happening. Okay. So less center back minutes to replace than I thought. But are you, is that a position of concern for you?
I'm less concerned now. I think you have center backs that have different skill sets. So Wazium's more of a passing center back. Maxu cannot play on the ball to save his life, but the lad can get in the way of a cross really well and has the broken nose to show for it. So I think they will mix well. I feel like the back three might end up being the dominant formation by the end of the year. That's my suspicion, just because having Cannon, Owaziem, and Maxu, I think, is like your three skill sets. You've got your ball player, you've got your ground cover with Cannon, and then you've got your like emergency, sweeper style with Maxu. But I think the four at the back might look a lot like that, because Vines is going to get forward a lot, and that's not really Cannon's game. But yeah, I think it's a balanced roster. The only thing I wish I was seeing was like one more top end piece, which would probably just, be whoever replaces Kevin Cabral next year. So I think I just got to keep waiting on that. But yeah, I think it's a good team. I think it's a well-balanced roster. I just hope that the practice meets the theory.
A thing that has been crossing my mind thinking about the Rapids this offseason is something that that Sam Pfeffer said on his or Matt Pfeffer, sorry, said in our who is Sam Pfeffer? That Pfeffer said in our interview with him about talking about goalkeeper metrics, where he said, like, yeah, you can look at goalkeeper shot stopping metrics, but they're not very stable. And that crossed my mind as particularly relevant to the Rapids because Zach Steffen last year stank the room out. The Rapids conceded 52 XG. They conceded 60 goals off of that. Stefan, I think, was the worst goalkeeper in MLS by shot stopping.
No,
Harrison
except for
Ayoun.
Yarbrough. Yarbrough was worse, and he was our goalkeeper the year before. So,
Wasn't he okay at the Rapids though?
not the last year.
Fair enough.
No.
Harrison, are you optimistic that Stefan can bounce back, or where are you at?
Yeah, I think that there's I think he can be a serviceable keeper in this league. I don't think that he's I absolutely think they're dedicating probably too much of their budget towards him, but at the same time, I think that it's a reasonable gamble. I think he's really good in those he's obviously very good in those PK situations, but I think he'd be a serviceable keeper. I think he could be. I think the whole roster itself is really well constructed, and I think there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful as a Colorado fan.
Okay, so Harrison in or out on the playoffs? They came seventh last year, plus six XGD, plus one GD. Are they gonna sneak a top four spot or kind of stay back half of the playoffs?
I think back half of the playoffs for me. I think they're absolutely a strong playoff contender right now. We'll see if they can take a step forward. I think if they do take a step forward, it's going to be in that 5 to 6 range. But who knows? Maybe they sneak into the top four.
Yeah, I think I'm the same place. I think the only team ahead of them that I can see really dropping out is maybe Houston and maybe RSL, and they would need one more team after that to play worse than them. Ben, in the playoffs, I assume, but top four?
Oh no, I think I got him at five or six.
I concur. All right, Ben, back to you. Tell us about NYCFC. Big rumor, Santi Rodriguez might go to Botafogo for $14 million. You like this team?
I like this team. That sucks. That really must suck if you're an NYCFC fan to see that with 2 weeks right before the season. But I mean, I guess that's the business. But I think this is a really talented team. They have a bunch of young, talented attackers, and I think that's just what jumps out at me the most about this team, is like you have a lot of ways of combining these players to put something effective on the field. They have a lot of good skill. They can dribble, they can pass. I think there was a lot of flubbed opportunities when I was watching NYCFC in the playoffs, that they really went that really bit them, especially against the Red Bulls after going down. Like this is a team that really should have gone farther. My concern then is like, do they have the spine? And if you're selling, Santi Rodriguez, are you gonna be able to replace your marquee attacker in, in a way that you can carry your team throughout the whole season? Like, how will they adjust to the team? When will they arrive? So, and they have a new coach who I know nothing about. So there's a lot of variance in this team for me. They could be up to fourth in a pretty soft East because they have the talent to do it. They might not make the playoffs because they might just have no leadership and completely crumple. I really have no idea. So I'm curious to see what you guys have to say.
I think I'm a little skeptical. I like NYCFC. I think they have a lot of talent. But I look at Christian McFarlane leaves to go to Manchester City. James Sands goes on loan to St. Pauli until June. They lose, or well, they don't lose. They loan out Jovan Mihatovic, their very expensive U22, who has not hit in any way, shape, or form. And, I look at it and I'm like, all right, that's a lot of guys. And if Santi Rodriguez is going to go as well, this is a lot of changes to your team. And given that this deal specifically is happening quite late, I'm very curious about their route to replace him. And maybe it's just like they bring Talles Magno back or something. I think he's out on loan somewhere. But I'm kind of skeptical. They looked amazing against San Diego, though. Like, really, really, really good. So, I think I would ultimately get to the place of comfortable playoff team, but I would bet against them being a top four team, I think. Harrison, where are you at?
No, you bang on. I think comfortable playoff team is like their theme this year. I think that should be their slogan across Paul's desktop. Yeah, Santi losing Santi is, dude, that sucks so bad. And to be perfectly honest, he was the one of their best players throughout the playoffs. Like, he pushed Columbus so hard. Was it Columbus that they played in the first round, right? Columbus?
No,
Who did
Cincy.
Cincy? They pushed Cincy so hard that first round. And he was the pushing factor, right? Like, he's who stood out clearly among the crowd. So losing him is,
I mean,
yeah.
they beat Cincinnati. They won in the shootout. And then they lost to the Red Bulls, but they were very unlucky to lose that game. Like, there's plenty of worlds where they beat the Red Bulls and then go to the conference finals and probably beat Atlanta. And then it's like, well, we're in a very, very different headspace here.
And Nick Cushing still has his job.
Oh, almost certainly.
And not just that, but if you want to follow that logic down, like, if we're going to play the what if game, right? Like, there is absolutely a world where NYCFC won MLS Cup last year. Yeah, this roster is uber talented. It's stuffed. They have tons of weapons on the attack. The real question is, who's going to fill the Santi Rodriguez role? Because I don't know how many games they can just play Maxi Morales 90 minutes.
Allegedly, the deal is not done. His wage demands are very high. I would be hoping that deal doesn't go through if I was an NYCFC fan.
Oh,
Like,
for sure. For
I don't
sure.
think the money and the ability to do something else is worth it in this situation. So I am into the playoffs, but out of the top four. Sounds like Harrison and Ben, you are the same.
Yes.
Same. Alrighty, next up, the Vancouver Whitecaps. What a strange off season for them. They fire Vanni Sartini, rest be his glorious, glorious political ideals and his wonderful stories. But they also lose Stuart Armstrong during preseason. By the way, they played him in a preseason game as a like favor to him to get match fitness because he's moving to Sheffield Wednesday, which was bizarre. They haven't identified somebody to replace him yet. They signed Emmanuel Sabi, who had like one good season in Scandinavia and then hasn't really played in France and hasn't been good when he has played. the new coach, Danish guy, Jesper Sorensen or something like that, has been very conservative, not conservative, much slower possession-oriented play instead of the like suicidal press transition ball from Vanni Zartini. Their incomings have been wildly underwhelming, and they lost a significant part of their production last year in Armstrong and Fafapico and Ryan Raposo, who was a super cheap domestic wingback who was very, very useful. He leaves to China because he's also domestic in China and gets paid. And unless you're like real, real thirsty for Jaden Nelson, which I am not, it's kind of an underwhelming window. And for a team that like is very much peak aged and is like very much we need to take a step forward, Caleb Wilkins wrote our preview for the Whitecaps this year. I was editing it the other day, and like he had a great stat that for the first time in 4 seasons, their XGD went down season over season. They went from a 0.4 team to a 0.06 team. So I look at it and I'm like, this is a team that took a step back, and I don't like the moves enough to say they've taken a step forward here. Not nearly enough. Ben, are you in and out, in or out on the Vanny-less Whitecaps?
Them out. I think this team still has a lot of talent from before. Like Brian White is still a great forward. Ryan Gauld is still an incredible like second forward slash chance creator. Like this is a team that I think will put on a lot of good performances, but I don't know if they're going to be good enough in this West. Like you're saying, like I think there's going to be too much of a disruption. There's going to be too much of a style difference from last year to this year, I think, to really have a smooth transition earlier in the year. So I think that's going to set them back. And I don't think they have, like you're saying, I don't think they've done enough to overcome that. So I'm going to assume that they're probably not making playoffs.
You think they slide all the way out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I do. I think they probably slide out of the playoffs.
See, we're going to talk about like Austin and Dallas and stuff and Portland. I just don't know if like enough of the teams below them are good enough that they'll slide out. I think they'll still make the playoffs. But I think they'll still be like there or thereabouts, like, and last playoff spots play in. Harrison, these are your Pacific Northwest hated rivals. Totally not the third wheel. Are they in or out? What do you think?
I go up and down on the Whitecaps. Sometimes I despise them and they frustrate me to no end. And this team is kind of I can't help myself but really enjoy this team. Obviously, like you said, this is going to change. It's going to change under, new leadership, and it'll look different without Vanny. Man, Brian White is so good. Ryan Gauld are so good. There's a couple different players on this team that I feel like are stable enough that this team could still be a playoff team. But like you talked about, like we still have Portland to go through. Portland's got its own issues. Dallas has their own issues. Austin has their own issues. But Austin, Kansas City, they arguably are better this year than they were last year. So, it's going to be kind of interesting to see, can Vancouver just stay where they're at? Can they just stay where they're at? Can they just stay at that eighth spot, or are they going to fall out? So it's kind of hard to say. They were underwhelming at home last year. They actually lost more games, I think, at home than they did on the road. So it's a weird situation. They're in a weird state. They're trying to be sold right now. There's so
That we
many
didn't
different
even talk. We didn't even
factors.
talk about that.
Yeah, there's just so much transition and turmoil. It's hard to say. It's really, really hard to get a beat, because coming into this, honestly, I didn't even have a second thought that the Vancouver Whitecaps were going to not be a playoff team with both White and Gauld on that attacking line. But you know what? Those are some really convincing arguments. So a
So
lot
give it
going
to
on there.
me. You have them out?
I think I have
Or
them
you
in.
just
I
think there's
think
a
I have them
greater
in.
chance that they're out than expected.
I think they drop a position to ninth. Let's say that.
Ben, you've got him in.
Nope, I've got him out.
Oh, spicy. Spicy, spicy, spicy. I have him in similar. I would say they'll probably finish seventh or eighth. Similar massive teams. Ben, the other Pacific Northwest team that is not Seattle, the Portland Timbers. Now, I'm going to caveat this with shortly before we started recording, FC Cincinnati traded Lucho Acosta to Dallas, who are going to come up later. Whatever you're about to say could look very different in by the time this podcast comes out. So take us away.
So I'm just gonna go ahead and assume that they're trading Evander away and they're signing that other person, and he'll probably be, let's say, pretty good and statistically like 80% of what Evander gave, and it's probably fine. And I'm just gonna assume that's the trip. Like for like, I forgot who the player from Spain is that they want to buy. Anyway. I'm curious about them because I think they're talented, but I think their midfield is soft, and it feels so strange to say that about a team that I guess for the third decade in a row is going to be starting. Oh God, what's his name? The defensive midfielder who had a
Diogo
brother.
Chara?
Chara, thank you. Yeah, Diego Chara, who's like 80 years old now, but is going to be playing his 200th season in MLS. Even with Diego Chara, I think with him and Ayala, I feel like they were still really easy to play through last year. I don't think it showed up in their numbers, but it didn't feel like they were a consistent like possession team. Like they were able to attack with flair. I think they did have some passing it around goals, but what I think Portland, I think like scoring from the edge of the box with these crazy shots and they're all of this production from all over the place, but they still could like cough up four goals in a game. So I think their attack is going to take a step back, and I don't know if the spine of their team's really improving at all. So I don't know. I have them like low playoff, but still on the line. But I'm curious where you guys are at.
To me, there's exactly one question for this team. Last year, they scored 64 goals, and 45 of those were Jonathan Rodriguez, Evander, and Felipe Mora. Jonathan Rodriguez is 30. I think he will turn 32 during the season. He will. Felipe Mora, I think, will also turn 32 in the season. Let me check his birthday. And Evander is probably not going to be on the team. Yeah, so Felipe Mora will also turn 32. And it's not like those guys had tremendous histories of goals. I guess Felipe Mora scored pretty consistently. But will you get 75% of your goals from Felipe Mora, Jonathan Rodriguez, and whoever replaces Evander? That's really hard to do. So their metrics were way better than I anticipated last year. Like they were a plus five expected goal difference team, which feels like the first time in forever that Portland have played to their metrics. Harrison, are you as your like runt little brother, do you like this team? I know you like Jonathan Rodriguez.
I do like Jonathan Rodriguez. I like Antony, both as wingers. You forgot Kevin Kelce. Like, come on, dude. The star of FC Cincinnati last year. I
Yeah, but
mean,
Kevin, no, but Kevin Kelce was bad.
oh, was he? Oh, was he? Are you telling me they spent all that money to negotiate with him and bring him on? And he was, oh, that's shocking. Honestly, Kieran, you are shocking me right now that they would do such a
Listen,
tremendous
I did not
error.
catch the sarcasm. I did not catch the
Look,
sarcasm.
it's tremendous content. I think that's the line at how much they continue that front office continues to like honestly it's unfair to that fan base. That fan base is so amazing, and they're such tremendous people. They deserve so much better. This Portland team looks really bad on paper. Yeah, supposedly they have somebody lined up to replace Evander, you know, if things all fall right. You know, we can talk about that on a future podcast, but that's not even the point, right? Felipe Mora hasn't played more than 2,000 minutes consistently his entire MLS career. I mean, he absolutely scores, and I love Felipe Mora. I really do. But he's played 2,000 minutes once, and that was in back in 2021. He's had two massive injuries in his time with Portland. You can't count on him, which means you're really hoping Kevin Kelsey and his terrible track record at Cincy can somehow you can re-energize. There's some signal in there that you saw that you can fix. And if that's the case, cool, awesome. But realistically, you're absolutely right. You're banking on being able to replace all those goals that you're missing, losing Evander. And then on top of it, you're hoping that your defense doesn't get any worse than what it is. And
So,
honestly, this defense is not looking great.
they were okay defensively last year. They were like fifth or sixth in the East, in the West for XGA. They did sign João Ortiz, who I have weirdly watched a lot of because
Oh, okay.
he plays for Independiente Del Valle, who Chelsea signed a young player from this team, so I've watched a lot of their games. And he's nice, like as a defensive midfielder, like he's 10 caps for Ecuador, like I think he will be a very solid MLS defensive midfielder that will hopefully play much more than Eric Williamson, is basically the take on that one. I just don't think the teams below them will make up enough ground. Like, I don't think the teams below them will make enough ground. So I'm going to have Portland in similar position back half of the playoffs. Harrison in or out?
No, I'm totally out. I absolutely think they miss the playoffs, and I think that Phil
Ooh.
Neville goes bye-bye. I think this
During the
team
season or
is,
end of the season?
you know what? I will guess somewhere around August, maybe right around the big break. I think that they may end up making a move.
Ben, in or out?
I don't know. You guys may have talked to me out on this one because I thought they're kind of borderline. So, yeah, they might be a little weaker than I thought. So I'll go out.
How fun. Ben, we're back to you again. I'm sorry, you've done four of the first six, but then you don't have any
No
more
worries.
teams after this, so it's great. New York Red Bulls, they made the final last year. They then like traded and sold a whole bunch of their players and signed Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting as a designated player. Do you like the Red Bulls offseason?
I actually think I do. I thought I didn't like that move so much. I still don't know if I necessarily like that move, but I think on the whole, I think this team at least has the potential to get better. I think the reason I think that is, I think they've gotten better defensively. They traded away Andres Reyes, but they're bringing in Tim Parker. They're bringing in Alexander Pack, I think that's his name. On the left, they sold John Tolkien, but they're bringing in Raheem Edwards, which is, I think, a really cool signing. I think they're going to rely a whole bunch more on Noah Ireland. I think he's going to keep developing a lot. So I think this is a defense that is solid, that's going to keep getting better. And I think the defense is the reason they were in MLS Cup in the first place. I think that's the reason they, were able to keep their momentum into the playoffs. And like the way they started last year was kind of flipping the model on the head a little bit and playing a lot more possession. It was the games were slower than they had been for a long time, and I think by the summer, Sandro Schwartz had pretty much given up on that, partially because Emil Forsberg got hurt, but partially because he just started getting results that way. And that's very much the game model that brought them into the playoffs and got them on their run. And I think they're probably going to double down on that. I'm really curious about the attack now because they've moved on from, shall we say, known quantities that maybe were like Dante Van Zier has gone back to Belgium. They've traded Elias Manuel, who was flashy, but was never going to be a reliable, consistent starter for this team in the way that, they've really been looking for out of their attackers. I think this is, so bringing in Chepamoteng, bringing in, oh, who else have they brought in?
Don't sleep on losing Corey Burke either here. Hey.
I think I sleep on that one. Felipe Carbajo, he was hurt for, they loaned him what, halfway through last year. He was hurt for a lot of it. He had some amazing moments in the playoffs that actually got them on the board so that they could actually hold the lead that, carried them. Their defense could carry them on into the next round. So I think they've got a lot of talent. I think they've got a lot of depth. I think they've got a good mix of veteran leadership who are familiar with each other and familiar with the style that Schwartz will be expecting because of that Bundesliga experience, as well as homegrown youth. So yeah, I think, and Lewis Morgan's just great. I think he's probably one of the more underrated attackers in the league. So I think this is a really good team. I think they'll make a run. I don't know where the I maybe I, well, all right. I'll say they'll get home field, or they'll get
They'll
like
be top four.
spot, yeah, top four seed. And I think they're going to make it to the semis at least.
So, Harrison, I have a feeling you're going to disagree with Ben. So I'm going to preach to you for a second. I
Let's
think
go.
this is like a real bet that Lewis Morgan's 13 goal, five assist season is real. And it's now the second time he's had a season of that magnitude here. He had 14 and three his first season with the Red Bulls. Maybe it is real. Okay.
I'm a believer, so.
However, I think the other business is really bad. Like, I think the Choupo-Moting is like genuinely a waste of a DP slot. Like, I think that deal will not work out. They also signed Victor Bogacz from not the Polish first division, the Polish second division. He's
Yeah, that
20
one's
years
not great.
old and doesn't even have a Polish U21 cap. They paid 2 million for him, so he goes into a U22 slot. And he's a nine who has scored 3 goals in 11 games in the Polish second division. Listen, I saw Jesus Jimenez rip that league, and that guy was horrific in MLS. I would not buy from Poland ever in 100 million years. So I don't love that one. I think Parker is fine. I think Hack is fine. But like, I'll also point out that Hack got cut from his Saudi team in August and didn't find a new team until the Red Bulls in January because he was a foreign player. And they're like, actually, we would much rather have other foreign players than you. Like, how good is he going to be? It's not like, I don't think the Saudi league is better than MLS. And you've moved on from, while I don't think Reyes and Manuel and Van Zier and Tolkien are amazing players, they are like pretty known commodities for you. So I look at it, Harrison. And you tell me, I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs or anything, but like last year, they were a plus 12 XGD team who had a plus 5 goal difference. If you told me that they were a plus 5 XGD team with a plus 5 goal difference this year and finished in exactly the same spot, I would totally believe you.
I'm kind of pissed because you just said everything that I was going to say. Like, I have nothing to
Jinx,
contribute.
you owe me a
You,
show
like,
now.
I was equally perplexed about the Ciampa, like, it just, like, the whole business, everything that they did in terms of spending was poor. I thought the replacement plan was poor. I'm really surprised. I really question where this team is headed. Yes, they have a lot of talent throughout the team, but overall, there's some serious questions on this team. I'm a big believer of Lewis Morgan. I think if Emil Forsberg can like actually stay like healthy and stuff, and like he'll be fine. Cameron Harper, I'm excited to see him take a step forward.
Yeah, actually, let me just like quickly shout out. They have a tremendous group of young players coming through in
Yes.
Julian Hall and Serge Ngoma and Omar Valencia and like a few other of the Red Bulls too guys who they really like. So don't be surprised if like those guys just get a lot more minutes to be the next set. Ronald
Would
Doncor, I
you
thought Ronald
stop
Don.
taking my stuff? Would you just like,
Sorry,
would you stop
go.
using my notes?
Finish your
No,
thoughts
that's
on the
what I
Knicks.
was just gonna say. I feel like Serge is the obvious example to kind of end up in that nine spot by the end of the year. I feel like with injuries and everything, he very well could end up in that role if he stays healthy. And that's the real question with him, right? Is whether or not he can stay healthy because that's been some problems with at in NY2. So, anyways, that's it. You can have all the other notes.
That's funny. That's my mostly my thoughts. My pick for like breakout player for them is Ronald Doncor. I think that guy is so nasty. He came on in MLS Cup and like totally changed the game. Like they were dead and buried and he was just slinging it around. And I was talking to Tyler, who does a lot of the back end stuff at ASA. And he was like, yeah, that's kind of his thing. He just like slings it around and like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So, I have them in, but not a top four team. Harrison in, not top four.
Yeah, I think a 6 or 7 seed, just like one, exactly what you said. If they finish exactly what they did last year, that makes total sense to me. I won't blink an eye.
Same from you, Ben Hameen.
Yeah, I think they could sneak into four, but yeah, like six
I
or
think it's
four.
possible, but the kids would have to really hit.
Yeah, and I think like what you're saying, like just the glut of talent they have, of young talent in the middle of their roster to just fill in spots. Like, not yes, I'm skeptical of some of their moves, but none of them have to hit for this team to be really good. So I think that's where I'm like, yeah, there's just so much talent up and down the roster. I have to be confident in them.
Also, shout out Ryan Mira, who retired this year and has been their backup goalkeeper for like literally 15 years, I think.
That made me feel so old. Yeah.
Yeah, holy shit. I didn't know that he retired.
Next up, CF Montreal. Here's the deal with Montreal. Their defense last year was hot garbage. They were the second worst team in the East. They would have been the worst team in the West by defense, even worse than the Quakes. Their goal difference and expected goal difference were basically lined up. They snuck into the playoffs off of like extremely fortunate results. The last, I think they won 5 of their last 8 and took 17 from 24. And they have decided that they are the island of misfit toys this year. They took in Giacomo Brioni from New England for literally nothing. I think it was 50K because you have to trade something. So he is their DP9 after they lose Joseph Martinez. And they also did a really interesting trade for Jalen Neal, who they then extended as a U22 player in a move that I loved. They brought in Prince Owusu from TFC, who actually like was quite useful for TFC last year. Like, I think that's good value if you get him on a much better contract. And a lot of their moves this year, I think, were very much targeted at being better defensively. They added, as I said, Jalen Neal, but they also added Brandon Craig, who was quite good for El Paso last year. The Union let him go because he's a little bit undersized and there wasn't really a route for him to play for them. But people like him and he's a pretty good passer. The Montreal people have been happy with him so far. They added Luca Petrasso as a wingback who was quite good for TFC a few years ago. Dante Sealy from Dallas. The real problem with this team is like their midfield is genuinely non-existent. Victor Wanyama, I think, has retired now. The only two midfielders that are like remotely playable are Sam Piette and Nathan Dylan Saliba, neither of whom are that good. They brought in Victor Latourie from Scotland, who was a Canadian Premier League standout, who was like just whatever, and Fabian Herbers from Chicago. I don't think that's enough for their midfield to be good enough. I think they will be better than last year, but they will not be good enough to make the playoffs. So they were the second worst team in the East last year by expected goal difference. I'd expect they'll be something like 10th, 11th, and they will not get as fortunate with their results to sneak them into the playoffs. Harrison, est-ce que je peux aller à toilette? What do you think of the CF Montreal? What I actually said was, can I go to the toilet? But
You know what? That was so crisp. That was so clean. We need more French on this show, I think. I
Je parle
think we.
un petit peu de français, un petit peu, a little bit, but not enough to
Oui.
speak it fluently. Tell us what you think. What do you think of their off season and their Island of Misfit Toys collecting?
I mean, I like the Jalen Neal. I think it's going to be really fun next to Joel Waterman. I think Joel Waterman's a really good center back, so putting him pairing him alongside it will be really interesting. I'm kind of interested to see how good that back line ends up being. Of course, they also have George Campbell there that they got from Atlanta, so that back line is looking really good. I'm kind of curious as to where it all ends up going. I'm a big believer, unlike some people, in the powers of Fabian Herbers. I think that he will be fantastic up there if they can just give him like a solid role of like 60 minutes, like 30 minutes even in the second half. I think he can come on and be a difference maker. I think he's a really fun player, especially if you're gonna give him an isolated role. Caden Clark, wow.
He was surprisingly good for them. I like shit on that as a trade, but
Yeah,
he's been
I was
impressive.
a big hater on that one. That proved me wrong real fast.
Well,
But anyway.
it's a great role for him, and it's a great way for him to kind of rebuild some value, right? Because Bryce Duke sure as heck's not going to do anything in that time. So I think it's brilliant.
Well, and they also have Kwadwo Opoku that they traded for
They
from
do.
LAFC? Is that
Yes,
who they traded for
they
him from?
did. Yep,
And
they got
he
a
was
poke.
like actually reasonably useful for them and in limited minutes. I think he had a lot of injury problems. Ben, are you like digging the Island of Misfit Toys thing?
I'm interested to see what the toys do, but I just Frioni, like his underlying numbers in New England were so bad. And I don't know if that was New England or if that was him. And like it's going to
Yeah,
be
how
interesting because Chase's preview, he showed what Campana's with Miami were compared to Vrioni, and it's just like, wow, quite the visual difference. How's that going to look with Montreal? I'm
You know
really interested to
what?
see.
You know what? Like we say that. Like Vrioni put up half an expected goal every game. He took three shots a game. He scored 9 goals on 11 XG for like a genuinely horrible team. Not that Montreal are going to be much better than him. Like I can see a lot of
With a
X to
top
Montreal.
three playmaker in MLS.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean that's kind
Oh,
of the
with
big
Carlos
thing.
Heal.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought it was like, who are you talking about in Montreal? Is this more a Fabian Herbers prop?
No. I'm a
Yeah.
huge fan, but not that big. Not that
No,
big. That's.
some tasty Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it is. I think, Ben, you're right, though. It is very much a degree of like how much does the stench wash off? But like they paid nothing. It's a low cost gamble for
No, I
them.
mean it's I mean as a team that traded for Kevin Cabral and it's kind of paid off. You do what you got to do. So I'm just curious to see how it actually looks.
And his contract ends this year and they have a club option. So if he's good, you keep him. And if he's bad, you move on. Regardless, I have them out of the playoffs. Harrison, out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be really close, but I'm out.
Ben, out of the playoffs.
This is where if I were quick on my feet, I'd remember the French word for out, but yeah, out.
Exité. I know that's excited. I don't
It's your national
eventually,
language,
I
man.
think it's just not anymore, baby. I'm American. If anybody
Oh,
there's, I've seen those ICE agents running around Reno. If anybody asks, I'm American.
they're not looking for you.
No, they're not. Next up, Harrison. Please tell us about the team that we at ASA hate the most, Austin FC.
Oh, I was confused. I thought you were talking about Atlanta there for a second. Yeah. So they went ahead and hired Nico Estevez and then immediately regretted it. I'm fine with Nico Estevez. I think it's kind of funny.
I don't think they regret it.
Well, it just was all those memes, like all the different hirings that happened following Nico.
Yeah, like Jim Curtin becoming available and yeah, fair.
There's a lot of,
Hold on. I'm just gonna pause. FC Cincinnati are finalizing a blockbuster deal to sign midfielder Evander from the Portland Timbers for $12 million plus add-ons. It is a cash transfer.
Wow.
So 12 million Honestly, like you'd be hard pressed to do better externally. Like that's actually pretty good value for them, I think.
That's really surprising. That is really surprising.
I can't
It's really
wait to
funny
talk
this
about
breaking news
Cincinnati.
is getting delayed a few extra days.
Yeah, this is gonna come out whenever. Everybody's gonna be like, we don't care anymore. Oh, and you know what the worst part is? Bogert tweeted this out. Also, Portland signed David DaCosta from Lens as
Lens, okay. Yeah,
his
that was it.
replacement.
Yeah, DaCosta was the guy I was thinking of as far as in that kind of in that vein of who they had on the back burner, but like it was really touch and go on whether or not they were actually going to have that window to sign him or not.
So what's funny is that if I had checked my phone, I think this came out exactly when we were talking about Portland. Like it was 15 minutes ago, which was one, two, three teams ago. So
Yeah.
like it actually was
Wow.
Port it actually
So,
was Portland.
congratulations, you ruined the podcast.
Yeah, I did,
Yeah, we're
probably.
in shambles.
Sorry, let me restart the timer. I don't even know what team we're talking about now.
We're talking about Austin,
Austin. Yeah, sorry, continue.
but here, real fast, that doesn't change anything about my take on Portland, just FYI, in case you were curious. No, but Austin itself, like, so they hired Nico Estevez, who, I cursorily like. I think he's a good dude, and I think he has a lot of really good ideas. It sounds like he has a possible formation change. It definitely sounds like they're going to play differently than what we've seen under Josh Wolf. It's kind of interesting how much they got for Sebastian Jarusi. But retrospectively, they turn around, they splash cash with two deep new DPs, TAM 10, U22 8. And this was coming off of a season which they went and spent on another winger in Bukari for as a DP. So, I mean, they have a pretty much within 6 month, 7 month window, they've refreshed all their DPs. And they are a different team than what we've seen before. And I think that there is a possibility that this is an Austin team that that is a little bit more structurally secure. I don't think in the past they've been very good in terms of how their defense has been set up to allow them to succeed. And so, because of that, I think that they're going to be a better team this year. I think that they're going to be about 5 to 10 points better, which puts them in that playoff zone. I'm really excited to have Brandon Vasquez back in this league. I think he'll be a lot of fun. I'm kind of interested to see if Brad Stuver can still be a really good keeper.
God, he was lights out last year. Like, he was like 9 goals better than his XG again. Like, every
Again,
year.
it like clockwork, and I feel like with him and maybe so a more organized back line, this could be a team. I'm really interested to see if Ily Sanchez has any more minutes left on his legs. I feel like LAFC almost got the very last bit of production from him, but we'll see. And if not, they still have Danny Pereira there that was their first round draft pick from a few years ago. So they have talent, they have pieces. I believe Nico can put them in the right position to be a playoff team. The question is what that ceiling really looks like versus the floor. I'm not sold and bought into what this vision looks long term right now, but we'll see. We'll definitely see what this team transitions and becomes.
I'm extremely skeptical of their recruitment. Ben, what do you think of Austin?
I think they're better. I don't know. I feel like they souped up the car, but it's still missing an engine. And I feel like Nico's style of play is more possession based, and I feel like it might need that engine. Well, Sanchez could be that. I don't think he can like cover defensively anymore. I think he's going to need help in that regard, but he could keep that. Like he could keep that going, and if Estevez can be flexible in terms of his, coaching ideology, if he could shift this to a more counter in transition type of team, they could be really good. So I think there's potential here for the season. We'll see what the build becomes. But yeah, I think they'll be better. That's for sure. I
I'm inclined to agree. I look, you spend $35 million in one window. I certainly hope you're going to be better. I think that your analogy about the engine is the one. Like, as much as Bukhari, Uzuni, and Vasquez are good, it's basically how good is Dubravsky, the Argentine young midfielder they got, how good is Elie, and how good is Danny Pereira, and how good is, they signed a Macedonian guy too,
Sabovich.
Sabovic, thank you, from Sweden. And I'm like, I don't like the Scandi guys that much. I don't, especially not in Austin. Like, what are you doing? They're gonna die. So we'll see. I do like you think that Nico Estevez will be decent though.
I'm really excited about Danny Pereira. I really think that under Nico Estevez and what he's doing, I think that he's going to take a step forward. He hasn't been really good the last couple of years, but I feel like part of that is the tempo and how they've been doing their how they've been playing as a team. And I think that with Ilya to kind of guide him the way and kind of be that mature piece for him, I think he could grow into a really fantastic center midfielder. I'm kind of excited.
Well, let's call Austin there. I have them in the playoffs on the edge. Like play-in team. That's where I have them. As much as I'm skeptical about all this stuff, like they have legitimate goal scorers. Estevez is not a garbage coach, I don't think. And I think that like Portland Rapids Whitecaps is like, I think actually I literally cannot possibly have them in because I said these other teams would be in. But like I could talk myself into it. So I'll say out because my prior answers have dictated that I must be out. But I think like they could totally pip a play-in spot if they're like remotely competent.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, you convinced me. I think went out on Portland after a while, so I'm glad because now I think I could put Austin in their spot. So,
Well, let's see what we're gonna come to another team. Harrison, are you in or out on Austin?
I'm in. I have them in the playoff in the play-in game as well against
Well,
Vancouver.
the other team who is probably a candidate for moving up is FC Dallas. FC Dallas have done a tremendous amount of business this summer, much of it to your benefit, Mr. Harrison, with Jesus Ferreira and Paul Arriola heading out. Lots of big moves. They, as we said earlier today, bought Lucho Acosta for $5 million. Don't really get that move. Tell us about this team and what notes you have that are not affected by that transfer going through.
No, I mean, there was rumors that that's what was going to happen. Yeah, I guess that's what came to fruition. In a way, I'm not surprised. In another way, it doesn't make any sense at all. I feel like, yes, they're improved in terms of Acosta is such a great talent. But what has shown time and time again is that when he doesn't want to be there, he's not going to be effectual. It's happened at Atlas. It's happened at DC United. It's happened at Cincy. Like when he's done, he's done. Like it just, it's not going any further. And you have to wonder what's the clock in Dallas because it feels like it's a ticking. It feels like it's ticking. It feels like it's a pending amount of time before he leaves for Argentina.
I would bet right now he does not finish the season in MLS.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And if that's going to be the case, I can't see how Dallas has a successful season right now. I just don't. I think they have a lot of really strong pieces. I think that there's some stuff there, but like I don't get the Shaq Moore trade. I really don't. I don't get in general
That one
they
is so weird.
right. Like it's they overpaid to get him and then sent Areola out the door. It was very weird. They have so much roster churn. I mean, we talk about New England, we talk about some of these other teams, but they had over 30 moves this offseason, which
Well,
they're 32 now, which I think New England was at 35. So they have a ton of moves that they've made.
and don't forget, like, Nkosi Tefari also goes out, Jimmy Moore also goes out, Dante Sealy also goes out, Liam Fraser, Omar Gonzalez, Sam Junkwa gets traded to RSL, Velasco goes, Velasco stank, so like whatever about that one. But it is a lot of dudes.
Well,
They
and they
didn't
got.
renew Emma Tuomasi. Like, it's a tremendous amount of minutes to replace.
It is. And they got Leo Chu, and I don't think Leo Chu's going to stay either. So, yeah, it's really curious. I think that this is my dark horse for the spoon right now.
Oh.
I think Paxton Pomykal is gone this
Oh,
season.
wow.
I think that he gets traded off as well. I think there's some team is going to make a move for him. That's my guess. And I think this team is just going to fold in on itself.
You know
Yeah,
what?
I would put them also in the running for firing their coach somewhere in the second half.
Well, they just hired their coach, right? Like, they just got.
I'm aware.
Oh, wow. And they
I
hired.
think
Who they
that's
hire? I think they
I think
hired
it's
the North
that
Texas
dysfunctional.
guy. Yeah, I was going to say, Harrison, what you're talking about is a complete club dysfunction because you're hiring a coach, you're setting them up to fail with the roster, and then you're firing them in the exact same season. So, you know. But I think I'm with you.
I have not seen anything from Dallas in 2 years, 3 years that tells me, and I get it. I get that is all projection and crazy. And, retrospectively, we'll listen back to this, in 9 months and be like, dude, you're way off. That's okay. The point that I'm trying to
Will
make,
we?
it's maybe not. Point being is that I feel like this has been one of the worst run organizations in MLS. And we point to LA Galaxy, we point to a lot of different teams. And because Dallas holds a lot of the league cards, I mean, for crying out loud, they pretty much powered through keeping this league alive for a certain period of time. And I feel like they kind of get a little bit of a pass. I think this team right now is in badly, badly in need of new, maybe not new ownership, but definitely executive staff and front office.
I bet they sell Petr Musa in the summer. I bet he scores at a decent level,
Yeah.
and they're like, yep, let's get more money. We got to
That would
pay for
make
that
sense.
stadium renovation somehow. We're out of time. Ben, are you in or out?
They're also my dark horse pick for the spoon, and that's because they are a team that needs a center back, and the only center back they brought in was Lalas Abubakar.
Lawless Abubakar.
Waiting for that. I was hoping you were going to tackle that. Yeah,
That's an
I'm out too.
MLS legend. How dare you? I'm also out. You know, I was like wondering. I was like, maybe Lucho and Musa is like enough of a transition attack out together that they can do something. But I think, yeah, you're right. The other pieces stank. Stank. All right, last team before my throat dies. Atlanta United. My goodness. Probably the biggest single window rebuild of any team in the history of MLS. Out goes. These were all in the summer, not this window. But out goes Thiago Almada, Caleb Wiley, Yorgos Yakomakis, and Santiago Sosa, and Franco Ibarra, and Dax McCarty, and Quentin Westberg, and Daniel Rio. Like, just a whole bunch of wages open up. They trade the other wolf child to RSL. And in comes Miguel Almiron. The former king of the league returns. In comes Alexi Marantric in the summer. Still don't really like that move very much. And in comes, for a league record transfer fee, Emmanuel Latelath from Middlesbrough. We have been very praiseful of Atlanta United under Garth Lagerwey and Chris Henderson. I think they've been very smart about the deals they've made, particularly bringing in Mateus Klich, who is a full designated player for nothing. Like, is he great? No, but is he awesome for a minimum salary? Yes. I think just purely Marantxuk, Almiron, and Lathelath should be very good on its own. I do have questions about the team behind it. Like, this was a +3 expected goal difference team. They got a tremendous amount of production out of Saba, who, like, not really shown that level of production at any point in his career before. Is that real? I have questions, particularly at defensive midfield. Gregersen had a not great season and didn't play that much. Maybe he comes back and is better. To me, the biggest spot that I look at, and they already have an answer, is like Brad Guzan. Brad Guzan is 40 years old. He will turn 41 during the season. He still makes a tremendous amount of money. He had a very good shot-stopping season by his standards last year, but I am skeptical in the longer term. I have this team making their way into the top four in the East, but I don't feel that good about it because I think you are tremendously reliant on your three stars being healthy. And Almiron has not been that healthy in recent years. And I don't think Marantxuk is that good. I would not be shocked if they tried to get out of the Marantxuk deal sooner than later to go get somebody else. But that's my take. They're going to be top four in the East. Ben, love, hate, praise Chris Henderson. What do you got?
I think I praise Chris Henderson. I think the Lathelath signing's huge. I think the Almiron signing's good too. And I think it's just more of like it'll be enough on the field and it just gets the fan base into it. Like that stadium just needs to be rocking. And I think we've forgotten how crucial that was to the Atlanta United experience in 2017, 2018. Was the 12th man in the crowd. So I think it'll be good. But yeah, I don't know about the defensive stability. That's where I'm the most concerned about this. I think there's a lot, I think it's an attack heavy team. I don't know if all of the pieces will all fit together neatly all of the time. I think Saba's great, but I don't think his style of play fits Almiron's style of play. Like Almiron's a transition player, even if he's older now. Saba, he's on the ball. He's taking longer with it. He's not necessarily doing quick reactions. He made magic happen, but that wasn't what I remembered of what made him the best. So I think they'll make the playoffs. But yeah, I think there'll be some adjustments that need to be made until it's really going to be flying next year.
And making those adjustments is new head coach Ronnie Dela. Harrison, are you in on the Ronnie Dela appointment as the Atlanta United head coach?
No, not really. I mean, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. It's a strong choice. I think that they needed somebody that was going to be a strong choice going forward, at least in the interim. Ryan Daly won't be there for more than maybe 2 years, and I think they'll get away with that second year. I think the first year will go swimmingly. I think that second year there'll be some transition moments, and they'll need to I think it'll be part ways, but for the time being it'll do what needs to. I agree with you. I think they're going to try to get rid of Marantxuk and get out from underneath that. I think Saba would be great as a 10. I think that would be a really interesting move. I know you guys are probably like wishy-washy on that, but I think that would work best with trying to combine with Almiron and getting him forward. The Brad Guzan thing is kind of scary. I'm right there with you. That is a huge concern, and we'll see how they address the rest of the center backs because Derek Williams is not a solution. And sadly, we've seen Luis Ibram also be mistake prone. So I don't know. I guess Brooks Lennon.
I'm pretty curious what shape they actually play. Like they split their time almost equally between back three, back four last year. And Ronnie Dela, I think, if I recall correctly, played some back three with NYCFC. So
Yeah,
I'm
but NYCFC really is built, like their stadium's built for three,
it,
four,
it I
three.
guess. I guess. But I'm still curious, like if you go 3-4-3, is it Marantxuk and Almiron under Lathelath? Is it 3-5-2 with Almiron as a 9 to run transitions? I don't know. I'm very curious about how they choose to play. That is, that this is like pure sickodom, but like they play Montreal the opening week game of the weekend.
Oh my God, that's insane. What the hell are we going to watch? Like, that's the most interesting matchup, just you telling me right there. Like, I don't even know how these teams are going to line up.
Yeah, like that I think will be an interesting game. We've also got there's some other good games in there. Anyways, we're all in the playoffs, undecided about top four.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little bit more bought into this than what you guys are, but top four,
I
yes.
have them
I mean,
top
I think
four.
it's, yeah, I think I'll do four. It's
I just
like,
don't feel good about it.
yeah.
They'll take Orlando's place for me.
I don't feel that good about anyone in the East. Well, I suppose we'll keep talking about that next time.
You don't feel good about Javier Mascherano coaching Inter Miami?
I'm with you, Ben. There's not one team. I think that's why I was so strong on Charlotte in the last
I feel
podcast.
pretty good. I feel pretty good about Cincinnati. That's going to come next,
Okay,
though.
that's true. Well,
I feel
I think they're
way
good.
good about Cincinnati.
I feel good about Cincy just because everyone else is falling off.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Evander. Yeah, I think
And
that's
them
going to be a
maintaining their
huge.
level. Well, we're going to talk about all these teams when we record next week. That pod's going to come out Thursday, 2 days after you listen to this pod. Anyways, we're going to wrap the show there. Ben and Harrison, thank you for this marathon recording session. If you want to support the show and the podcast and ASA, first off, like just talking to people about it is huge. Like everyone at ASI was talking about ASA. Tyler and Brian gave a lovely talk about ASA's history. I'm waiting for the video, and I'm gonna try and put it as a podcast on our feed if I can. But I heard the mics weren't great, so we'll see. Regardless, share things, like things, subscribe to things, all those sorts of things help. And if you really want to go above and beyond, check out the ASA Patreon. You get access to a whole bunch of cool tools. You get the roster builder, you get the trade machine, which now we're going to have to add cash transfers into the trade machine, which should be fun.
Poor action.
But those things will eventually find their way into the site. But if you want to get them early, you gotta go there. But it is a good way to keep the servers and the lights on and all those sorts of things. Anyways, that's all from us. As always, friends, enjoy the soccer.